Rural Focus.
Hello there and welcome to today's edition of the Rural Focus podcast here on the Listener app, L-I-S-T-N-R. If it's happening in agricultural circles around regional WA and agribusiness, maybe horticultural business, if it is happening, we've got it covered here for you on Rural Focus. Yeah, thank you for joining us today. Plenty to get through. Was 2022, New Year's Eve last year. Did you make a New Year's resolution to get fit? Well, if you did, from Farm Life Fitness, we are going to catch up with the lovely Louise O'Neill. She's going to join us very soon and talk us through what we can expect to do for 2022. We'll catch up with Steve Martin, Liberal MLC. Of course, the WA borders are supposed to open in a couple of weeks' time, the 5th of February. We'll find out and see what Steve thinks about that. But how did yesterday's Mushay cattle sale go? Well, time right now for today's edition to catch up with Craig Walker. Craig, hello there to you.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Not bad. Starting to warm up around regional WA. Well, across most parts.
It seems to be the case, yeah. I was talking to a few people up around the Lower Gascoyne where those fires are yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of been pretty consistent around around low 40s there. I got a phone call earlier this morning and apparently even east of Wiluna had some big storms last night with some rain going through there. So, you know, people are talking about up to 4 inches of rain up there out in that neck of the woods, which is absolutely fantastic. So things are changing. Mm. If you listen to the old fellas, they all say it's got to get hot to rain. So, you know, whatever it takes to rain, mate, up in that pastoral area, let it be the case.
Yeah, certainly. The Mushay cattle sale was yesterday, mate. How did all things pan out there?
Yeah, look, Mushay was bumping along pretty well. It hasn't changed a great deal. The market was pretty strong right throughout. There was about 1,300 head of cattle that we yarded. If we have a look at our local steers, you know, 200 to 300 kilos, we're looking at those at about 580 to 650 with the very odd sale hitting $7. The slightly heavier sort of steers, 300 to 400 kilo, locally bred, 580 to 650 also. In the heifer market, we didn't see too many lightweight heifers, but the few that were there, 200 to 300 kilos, sold pretty consistently up to about $6.20 and slightly heavier up to $5.70. Medium weight pastoral steers, and most of these cattle have actually been down on grass for a little while. They sold from $3.60 to $4.60, and lightweight pastoral heifers, they were fairly consistent in the 200 to 300 kilo mark. They sold from $2.50 to $4.80, and quality really depending. In the cow market, we saw big heavy cows selling from $3 to $3.18. Medium weight cows around the 400 to 500 kilos, they sold from $3 to $3.40, and lightweight boner cows, they sold from $2.70 to $3.30, and a lot of those have been bought by graziers and backgrounders and feeders with the idea, just in case there is a big wet again, and a lack of numbers, so they're going straight on to feed in the backgrounding. But if we have a look at heavy herd bulls, they're still marching along, you know, $3.30 to $3.56, so yeah, with bull buying season coming up, if you're going through, you're still getting $2,500 to $3,000 for your old herd bulls. So, you know, that gives you a little bit of confidence to spend a little bit of money at the bull sales coming through. And your medium weight bulls, they sell from $5 up to $5, and lightweights from $5 to $6.20 in some categories. And live exporters pretty consistent at $4.40 to $6.30 for very good lightweight local bulls, and pastorals back about $1 on that. So It was a strong market throughout again.
Yeah, fantastic. So good news there from Mushay yesterday. Anything else to report on this morning, mate?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, mate. We've got at the moment we see a bit of a mindset. Mm. I want to try out on you. When we talk about mindset, and we talk about with how people are thinking, how they're perceiving the world. So I'll ask you a couple of questions and just see where you're situated. All right, and this will show what we're talking about.
Excellent.
So, what colour is new snow?
White.
Okay. What colour are the clouds in the sky?
White.
What do cows drink?
Water.
Yeah, you're a good thinker there. You nearly come up with the milk. Yeah, it just goes to show, mate, that you're right on top of it. And that backfired on me real well.
I would have thought you would have been the one person that would have said water.
You know,
you're with these cattle every day of the week, just about. So I thought you would have been right up there, mate.
No, what that goes to show, a lot of people keep on saying different things,
yeah.
and And that's really what, that was a bit of lighthearted fun. But what it shows is that everyone's sort of starting to panic a little bit, you know, like the negative mindset about agriculture and livestock prices have come in. We talk about COVID, we talk about, you know, dry times, we talk about, you know, price of fertiliser and chemical. And that actually, we hear that much that it actually starts to affect their psyche, and we start to understand that that's where it's going at the moment, and all of a sudden it's doom and gloom, and we can't sort of get ahead around the positive opportunities that we've just come through. So, you know, that's why you just got to be careful about where you, what information you go looking for. And if you go looking for too much negative stuff, that's what you're going to find. And I know it sounds like a little bit of woo-woo stuff, but there really is a lot of positive activity around for the cattle market. It hasn't been this high before. Demand is so strong for breeders in the eastern states and females. You know, $4,500 the other day for a special female sale down in the south. Constantly we're seeing $3,000 or better for preg testing in calf. Cows, we're seeing, you know, $280 and north, and up to $500 for merino, for ewes that have scanned in land, depending on breeds and so forth. But so there is a lot of positivity out there, and a lot of opportunity. So we're just going to look for it, and just remember that it is actually a great industry to be involved in, one of the best ones in the world.
Mate, question without notice, and we all know that WA's, well, supposedly going to open up to the rest of the world pretty much in a couple of weeks' time. Will there be much processing disruptions with cattle?
There could be with cattle and sheep, and it all comes back to close contact thing, you know, like, and I know the federal government's trying to change that, and you can find that information online on number of sites, and it depends on what take the journalists and what bias that they have when they write some of those articles. So, look, there could be. Seriously, there could be, and there probably will be at some stage some disruption into the industry. There could be a lack of numbers for about a week that will be killed at one processor. But the thing is, don't panic over it.
Okay.
You know, like, you just got to be a little bit smarter. If you get a little hiccup like that, you just got to work with the people who do the job. And, you know, quite often we see that kills a variant. Now, this is no different to what has gone on in the past when we talk about breakdowns.
Yep.
You know, quite often a meatworks will have a breakdown and they don't get a kill done that day.
Yep.
So really it is the same sort of thing. I know that we're talking about a disease that could actually probably hang around a little bit longer and we go into the supermarkets. But, you know, everyone, all they show is the supermarkets, but there are plenty of smaller butchers and family butchers out there that are still got plenty of product to supply people. So don't get caught up in all the hype about it. Don't go into this is maybe an opportunity for people to go out and see the small independent grocer, the smaller independent butcher, go and see your baker as well, and go and see some of the smaller outlets, because it's a great opportunity for you to probably experience something new, see what else is out there as far as the quality of meat and the quality of food, and just try to get out of our rut that we do, where we all march in like ants into the one supermarket or wherever we go and buy our product and march on out and think we've had a great day. Go and experience what it's like and what these smaller independent outlets provide.
For sure. All right, there you go. Craig Walker from Nutrient. Mate, always a pleasure to chat on Tuesday. Have a great week, mate. We'll chat to you again next Tuesday.
Look forward to it, mate. You take care, and I love your positive attitude.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Right now, time to catch up with Steve Martin, the Liberal MLC. Good morning and Happy New Year to you, mate.
G'day, Troy, and the same to you and all our listeners.
Have you had a chance to have a break, mate?
A small break, Troy. I guess like most people, 2022, the start of this year is a little unusual, isn't it?
It
feels,
it is.
I think you and I were talking, it feels like a long weekend rather than a big summer break.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do hope everyone has had a chance to spend some time with their family and friends over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Been a massive harvest, mate.
A great harvest, Troy, right across Western Australia. Record tonnes in the bin, which is a wonderful result, and a really a great tribute to West Australian agriculture. The improvements we've made in that sector in the last 20 or 30 years are quite remarkable, and we've seen that with over 21 million tonne, I believe, and still
going.
coming in slow. Yeah, absolutely, trickling in the south. So it's an enormous result, and well done to everyone involved. It has been a long harvest, and I do hope those farmers, those truck drivers, the guys on the chaser bins get a chance to have a spell, because they work really hard. We were short of staff, as everyone knows, this harvest. So have a break, recuperate because seeding, as we all know, rolls around awfully fast.
Certainly does. Our shearers are well and truly into it. A little bit short. They're still after some shearers around regional WA, Steve. I was speaking with Darren Spencer, the president, the other day. Rapid antigen tests. These guys are looking to get some, and I suppose most of regional WA are as well.
They are, Troy. Shearers are one sector that are looking ahead to that February 5 deadline when our borders come down and the rapid antigen tests, the RATs, availability and pricing is an issue. So the shearers are doing what every sector is doing, to be honest. When the borders come down and the Premier's sticking by February the 5th, the virus will arrive. Mm. There's no doubt about that. It's here at a small level now.
Yeah.
That will increase and we will need access to those RAT tests to make sure our vital industries continue smoothly. I hope that supply line is in place.
Yeah.
The Premier has made some promises about that, and we need those antigen tests out and about in the community.
Are our regional hospitals ready for what could happen, mate?
Well, I really do hope so, Troy. We've seen some really alarming news in the last week or so that the Geraldton Hospital, for example, had an extreme staff shortage looming a couple of weeks ago. They filled that with emergency staff from the city. We can't continue to do that all across regional WA.
Yeah.
So the Premier's put down February 5 as the day we open up. If we're struggling for staff now, I do wonder what it looks like on February 6. But let's hope our really hard-working doctors, nurses, all our
everybody,
health workers
get
the support they deserve because they've done a wonderful job. We have an outstanding health system in this state, but they are stretched a little at the moment. So I hope the Premier has in place the resources to keep our hospitals and our health workers opening.
Do you go back to Parliament before the 5th of February?
No, we don't.
Oh, you don't.
We don't. So that's we start the start of the third week of February.
Okay,
we go back. So as I've said, I think that date will hold.
Yeah.
The Premier's given no indication at the moment that he's going to change that date. So we need to get ready and be prepared.
What are you hearing from farmers, mate? Well, what are their concerns when WA does open up?
Well, they're hoping that the worker shortages will eventually be released by the workers, the borders coming down.
Yep.
That will give us access to interstate labour, and we do hope they will travel. But I've got a feeling that it'll be slow moving initially.
Yep, yep.
People are still nervous about travelling.
Yes,
you know, we've seen that with what's happening in the east. So they do hope that opens up. The supply chains are still an issue, getting things in and out of this state. So let's hope that. We see some relief in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess farmers are more broadly nervous about the rising input costs for the coming season. But as we've said earlier, it's been a wonderful harvest. Let's enjoy that. Let's not race too quickly to the crisis. Learning. If we spend the next couple of months getting ready for seeding and the season ahead, we've got that great harvest behind us.
All right. And if a farmer out there wants to get in contact with you, mate, can they do that?
Yes, they can. They can get in touch with my office, Troy. You can find us on the web. Look forward to hearing from people who want to get in touch.
All right. Go ahead and do that. Steve Martin, Liberal MLC. Mate, nice to have you back for 2022.
Thank you very much, Troy.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
And for the first time for 2022, Tom Rottnelli catch up with the editor and researcher with the Farming Ahead magazine, one of the boys from the Condinan Group. It is time right now to say good morning to Mark Saunders. Hello there to you, mate.
How are you? All right?
Very well. How are you going?
Battling through the new year. Yes, we've had been over here in Victoria. Obviously, we've got some Omicron challenges.
Yes.
One of my daughters was positive New Year. So, yes, we've done a bit of home isolation, that sort of thing. No serious illness, touch wood. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just out and about in the community, absolutely.
Yes, so. It is starting to come this way as well, mate. But, yes.
Coming to a brothel near you soon, is that right? I've heard today.
Oh, come on, mate.
sorry, I'm not intimating that you were there.
From what I've seen
on the news, I think that's been one of the hotspots.
There has been a couple of those hotspots, mate. look out. Hey, mate, I did speak about this last week when it first came out, but nice that you want to speak about this today because John Deere have launched a new completely autonomous tractor.
Absolutely. So, yes, while we've been away having our Christmas and New Year's break, they've been getting things done. Absolutely. So they have a big technical and innovation event in the States, of course, because we can't have any of that kind of thing over here at the moment, or pretty much anywhere else. But yeah, an event called CES 2022, so early in January, or just about a bit over a week or so ago. Yeah, they launched an 8R series tractor, which is a current series for them, and yeah, fully autonomous. So I haven't seen it in the flesh, obviously, but I've seen plenty of footage of it towing a chisel plow in the paddock and operating completely on its own. So yeah, we've seen bits and pieces of that kind of technology kicking around for a little while, but there's the first fully fledged, I suppose, branded or OEM tractor that's autonomous. Yeah, so pretty big jump in the capabilities there, and seeing it actually going.
Yeah. So how long do you think before they're here in Australia, mate?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. They're saying they'll have units commercially available later this year in the US. I would think it won't be too much longer after that before we see them here, maybe 12 or 18 months. So, okay. Yeah, not too far away at all. Those things, yeah, tend to get over here and they do a bit of ground proofing. Australia's a good testing ground for many of that, bunch of that technology. So, yes, quite a thing to see.
Now, last year we did see a lot of farmers buying tractors, so could they be saving up to buy an autonomous one when they come here in Australia, mate?
Well, they might, and I think, you know, look, Omicron or Delta and COVID in itself has put up a heap of challenges, and labour and, you know, staff shortages is one of those. We're seeing those over here with, you know, in terms of logistics and freight and all sorts of things that people are having to isolate. So, yeah, this one obviously requires some monitoring, but in terms of being in the actual machine itself, no person required. So, look, there's some grey areas there, insurance-wise, that kind of thing. But, you know, as we've seen with Tesla, that kind of thing in the States, I'm sure they'll work that out once they get one here and have it running around on its own.
And I'm guessing, what would it work the same way as the autonomous mining trucks in a way, mate?
I think that's pretty much how it goes. So you've got a geo-fence or a geo-boundary, so the tractor knows where it should and shouldn't be and will obviously stop if it goes outside of those boundaries. But using an array of cameras and sensors to make sure it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, and obviously someone monitoring all the vital statistics that's going on in the tractor to make sure it's doing what it should be doing as well. Okay. Yeah, very similar, I would imagine, just not it's not following a specific, you know, magnetic track in the bitumen or something like that, like you might see in a port vehicle, but using GPS to keep it in where it's supposed to be. So.
Have you heard any feedback from Australian farmers about the tractor?
No, look, I haven't spoken to anyone about it yet. So we've been on leave and on break, but there's certainly a fair bit of interest in it. There always is with this kind of technology. Yeah. So as I said, we've seen, I know of a few tractors here that were running, they've been aftermarket fitted with some autonomous gear. But yeah, this is certainly the first one out of the factory that will be commercially available. Yes, so quite exciting.
Yeah, certainly do. So yeah, keep an ear and an eye out for that. The John Deere, of course, have launched a new completely autonomous tractor, commercially available later on this year, but could be in Australia. Well, who knows, could be later on this year or another 16, 18 months, but we'll keep a close eye on that for you. Before you go this morning, Mark, a reminder for the spray drift this summer?
Yes, absolutely. So, look, we've had a bit of a united front from some of the peak bodies, the National Farmers Federation and Cotton Australia, Grain Growers and the Rice Growers Association. Look, there's been issues, pretty big issues in the past with off-target losses from spraying and spray drift. So you'll have a broad acre application of things like 2,4-D, for example, and if we're doing that typically in the middle of the night when it's prone to inversion and the chemicals can drift and drift quite a long way, we're talking, you know, maybe tens of kilometres in some instances, and we end up having, the cotton or what it's not supposed to be affecting, getting well and truly affected. So just a call out. It's been a wet summer in most places, so there's going to be a fair bit of summer spraying happening, we think. Just a reminder to follow your label instructions for your chemicals. It is actually a legal requirement to do that. Ensure your applicators are trained or accredited. So someone's got a ChemCert accreditation, for example. And just do your basics like monitoring the conditions, knowing what's happening outside before you go and spray. And I think there was a final reminder too, just to make sure your neighbours know what you're doing. Good idea to keep them in the loop too. So, careful approach when we're spraying over summer.
All right. Anything else before I do let you go this morning, mate?
Just welcome to 2022, I think. Yeah. Looking forward to, hopefully being able to get into WA or getting some of the WA people out of WA in the next few months. But we'll see how that happens.
Yes, we'll wait and see. Yes. Mark Saunders, editor from the Farming Ahead magazine, the Condillion Group. Mate, always a pleasure and nice to chat for 2022.
Good. Thanks very much, Troy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
It is Troy with Rural Focus for your Tuesday and for the first time for the brand new year of 2022. Time right now to catch up with the lovely Louise O'Neill from Farm Life Fitness. Louise, good morning.
Morning, Troy. Happy New Year, even though it is the 18th of January already.
Halfway
I can't
through,
quite believe that.
So it is January and, of course, people have, you know, they've had their Christmas. They've probably had their holidays as well. Should we start to be looking back at planning maybe some exercises?
Yeah, I just think we're still, there's a lot of people that are still on holidays, particularly school holidays, so there's still a lot going on for people. So when I talk to clients, I normally say January's just a soft, easy month.
Yep.
Where, like I said before, we just try and keep control of one thing, whether it's our eating, our drinking, or exercise. But I always say, like, as we come into February, start to plan your thoughts around what you want to do for exercise, you know, what you want to achieve in work or anything like that. Not so much goals, just getting a bit of an idea about where you want to head for the year. And yeah, exercise, but also with work and with family, and just start to write some things down, get it out your head and put it down on paper. I think that's really important.
So anything from, say, walking around the farm or something, or, you know, something like that?
Yeah. So, you know, for example, for movement, but if you're still, like, struggling with the routine because you've still got kids at home, sort of plan a bit about what you could do around the farm or that incidental exercise, you know, if you need to go and check water or you need to move some sheep, you know, how much can you walk? Plan that a little bit as well. I just think planning is super important to getting us back into the swing, because before we know it, we'll be back into the swing of the craziness of morning routines, of work, of getting dinners ready at a certain time and everything like that, and another month goes by.
What about creating healthy habits?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really a strong believer in healthy habits, and that's also worthwhile planning, because healthy habits don't happen overnight. We've got to replace the bad habits with the good habits. And, you know, any research shows that can take anywhere from 3 to 12 weeks, depending on what it is and how strong that habit is. So doing a bit of research around what kind of positive habit stacking works for you is really important, because there's heaps of different methods and ways that you can build on, can build some good habits. So just, again, planning around that, doing a bit of research to make sure you're all set to go.
And I'm sure all of this info is up on your website?
Well, it's available on our website, contact details. Yep. And I'm always, especially this time of year when people have just come out of harvest, and I'm always happy to have a chat with people if they want to reach out and contact me either through Instagram or Facebook. We always do free 15-minute chats to anyone.
Yeah,
So, yeah, anyone can hit me up and have a quick chat. That's fine.
How is your stuff on Instagram going? I'll see that you're, you know, I'll see your posts every now and again up there.
Yeah, it's going well. We always decide to take December and January quite quiet, because I feel, like I was saying before, I feel like people have a bit of a hiatus from Instagram and Facebook, which I think is fantastic. And so do we as well. It's good for us to switch off. But yeah, there'll be plenty of stuff going on, and some courses being advertised and stuff like that. Okay. So we're going to ramp it up again. So keep a lookout.
All right. So if people are wanting to know more, what's the website for people to go to?
www.farmlifefitness.com.au, or Instagram is farm.lifefitness.
Hey, lovely to have you back for 2022. Keep safe. Enjoy the rest of the school holidays with the boys, and we'll chat to you again soon.
Well, I'm counting down the day to the end of the school holidays, but I will enjoy them too.
Chat next week.
Thanks, Troy.
Yes, we'll look forward to catching up with Louise again next week on the Rural Focus podcast. And don't forget, too, you can join us weekdays from 9 a.m. WA time here in Australia for the radio show. But if you can't get us during the week, of course, you can always get us here on the Listener app, LISTNR, and search Rural Focus. Hey, we'd love to hear where you are listening to the podcast from. Let us know. Jump onto the Rural Focus Facebook page. We'd love to know where you're listening to, and are you enjoying the podcasts? Let us know. Just go to the Rural Focus Facebook page. I'm Troy Stockton. I look forward to having your company again very soon.